Hello, my friends. I am so excited for today's episode. This interview has been a long time coming, for real. Today, I get to share this episode with you on a conversation I had with my friend Kay Kiefer. Kay Kiefer has been married for 37 years to Russ, who is her biggest cheerleader and sounding board. They have 3 adult children, all married, and 6 grandchildren, with number 7 arriving in August. Kay is a registered nurse, and she founded We Are Everywhere in 2018. We Are Everywhere exists to expand awareness about the extent to which abortion can negatively impact women, particularly women in the church, and to help those impacted find healing and wholeness. She is constantly amazed by God's grace and mercy and is thankful every day for His work in her life. Now, friends, Kay is very special to me. When I was 17 and after I had had my abortion, my mom had gotten Kay's number from somebody that we were working with. I can't remember who. And I met with Kay every week or so, or a couple weeks, and I was just not in a good place. At that time, I was very kind of negative about things. I would show up to my meetings with Kay having supposed to have completed some homework, and I just didn't do it. Kay was always so patient and kind with me, and the fact that she took time to meet with me and just keep in touch with me and kind of keep checks on me now and then just meant a lot to me, even though I was so just kind of lost at the time. Kay and I connected on social media around that time and stayed connected for about a decade, not necessarily talking a lot, but we were connected, and Kay is who I was able to go to when I needed to repent and surrender to Jesus. And she helped me do that. She helped lead the Bible study group that I went through. And I just am so thankful for her and for everything that she does for women who have been negatively impacted by abortion. She has such a heart for this, and I'm just so thankful that you get to hear her story and get to hear what God has done in her life since she had an abortion herself. So without further ado, let's hear from my friend Kay Kiefer. Are you struggling with the pain of a past abortion and longing for help but don't know where to turn? Have you been made to believe that your sin of abortion is too big and bad? Friend, if that's you, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Does God Forgive Abortion podcast. I'm Brittany, and you wouldn't know it just by looking at me, but I too walked through the doors of an abortion clinic and ended the life of my unborn child. I thought for years that I had committed the one sin that was unforgivable, and I awaited punishment from God. After years of prompting from the Holy Spirit, I finally found redemption and hope through Jesus. Now that I am healed, God has placed a calling on my heart to walk alongside you so that you can find true hope and healing too. If you're ready to recognize that God has a true plan and purpose for you, no matter what you have done in your past, then this podcast is for you. Fill up your favorite mug with some coffee and crack open your Bible, because it's time to receive the good, good news. Friends, really quick before we get into today's episode, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we do have a private Facebook community for Christian women that are healing from the past decision of abortion. You can join us over there. We do prayer requests, we share scripture, we have opportunities to talk about our story and just kind of really just support each other and carry each other's burdens in this private online community. Your privacy is absolutely 100% respected. And so we have things in place over there to make sure that we are keeping your confidentiality and privacy in check. So if you'd like to join us, you can go to bit.ly/DGFA group. You can join us, make sure you answer the 3 questions to get approved. That's how I know that you're a real person and not a robot trying to join. But we would just absolutely love to welcome you over there and to get to know you. Hey friends, so we have my friend Kay here on the podcast. So I would like to welcome you, Kay, to the podcast. This interview has definitely been a long time coming, and I'm just really excited for everybody to get to hear from you. So if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about you.
Well, thank you, Brittany. It's really great to be here with you. You hold a very special place in my heart, and I'm very honored to be here. I'm Kay, and I am a registered nurse by profession, and I actually worked for probably about 15 years in pro-life pregnancy resource centers and clinics. But way before that, when I was 19, I actually had an abortion, and it was something that I really worked hard to keep hidden for many, many years. I really thought that that was going to be a secret pretty much forever. There were a few people who knew, but not too many. And then I was actually seeing a Christian counselor, and she kept picking at this abortion during the times that we were together. And I was really irritated with her because in my mind, it was in the past and I was done with it and I was good. So let's move on. And she just sat back one day and she said, "You know, Kay, I think the power that Satan has over you with this abortion is the fact that it's a secret." And I'll tell you, Brittany, I have not had many burning bush moments in my life. I have not had many moments where I have truly felt that the God of the universe is speaking to me, but that was one of them. I just know with everything that's in me that God was speaking through that woman that day, and I knew that that was true. And it scared the heck out of me because I couldn't imagine how life could go on, very honestly. I couldn't imagine how the earth would continue spinning on its axis if I didn't keep my abortion a secret, because I knew if I didn't keep it a secret, I was going to have to tell my parents, and I was going to have to tell my children, and I was going to have to tell dear close friends. And it did. It terrified me. But it was also very clear to me that that was from God. So I stepped out into that, trusting him. And he has so richly blessed me in my life. I have been so honored to walk alongside many women who have had abortions since then and been able to give them some measure of encouragement, to help them find healing, to connect them with other ministries and resources. And then in probably 2016, 2017, I just started to really feel very compelled about the importance of the message of abortion being shared openly and frequently in churches. And so then I founded my nonprofit, which is called We Are Everywhere.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, I think I've shared this on the podcast, but what people may not know until they're listening now is that you actually are how I found my healing. And getting to meet you when I was 17, I didn't know how much I would need you at that time, but it's just been such a blessing. You've been such a blessing in my life, and I'm so glad that you went first so that I could find that too.
Oh,
yes.
Well, and I truly feel the same way about you. Literally, there are so many times that you never find out what happens. You never find out the rest of someone's story. And to have reconnected with you after 10 years, and then to be able to walk with you through that healing program it was such a gift. God did not need to give me that gift, but he did. And I'm so honored and just blessed to know you and to have you in my life.
Thank you. Thank you, Kay. So I would love for the listeners to hear more about We Are Everywhere because I know when you created the Facebook page, you had invited me, and this was kind of before we had even really reconnected and chatted and gotten to go through the healing program together and that things of that nature. And you had invited me to like that page, and it had made a real impression on me. And I would just love for you to talk more about what We Are Everywhere does and kind of your experience in starting your nonprofit.
Sure, I would love to do that. It was really interesting because I remember so clearly having I had a group of women over to my house who all had shared the experience of abortion. Each of our stories was obviously unique, but we shared that experience of having at least one abortion, if not more, and all having some level of regret for that, having made that decision. And I looked around the room that day, and there was a pastor's wife. There was a small business owner. There was an office worker. There was a stay-at-home mom. There was me. I was a nurse. And it's like, I just said, we are like everywhere. And when I said that, I meant like we as post-abortive women are everywhere. Women who have experienced abortion and regret it are everywhere. And I feel that we are just hidden in plain sight. And it became just very important to me that our churches, our spiritual leaders, the clergy that we respect and that we look to for guidance on all of life's issues, that they speak to the issue of abortion. And so I founded this nonprofit called We Are Everywhere. We Are Everywhere exists to expand awareness about the extent to which abortion can negatively impact women, particularly women in the church, but also women everywhere else, and then to help those impacted find healing and wholeness. And it hasn't been necessarily an easy mission. There just are seem to be a lot of closed doors in churches and with clergy, even though they will personally agree with the mission and with the importance. There just is not, has not been a lot of openness to embracing the message and speaking the word in church to those who are in front of them every Sunday morning.
Yeah, it is funny you say that because when you go to them, a lot of times they do agree and are even excited to hear about what you have to say. And then it's still just kind of you're sitting every Sunday waiting to hear about it and you don't hear anything.
Exactly. And I think it is tragic in so many ways. I think that well, first of all, I really do believe that abortion is one of Satan's favorite tools. I think that Satan ha he has a vested interest in keeping abortion alive and well in our nation. There, when you think about it, every time there is an abortion performed, that means that another new image bearer of Christ is not even able to draw their first breath outside of the womb and is not able to proclaim the name of Christ. So I think that's a win for Satan, as well as the fact that then he can really wreak havoc on the lives of the women left behind. But I think too that when we go to church, as I said, we look to our clergy, our pastors, our priests, our ministry leaders as our spiritual mentors, the authority basically in our lives to help us understand the word, to help us, sift through it and to help us make sense of it. And when there is an issue that is just not spoken about, I think that speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the you'll hear things about trafficking, about gender identity, sexual orientation, about pornography addiction, all of those things, far more often than I think you hear about abortion. And when that happens, I think that first of all, those sitting in those congregations who have been a part of an abortion, either themselves personally, or they've driven someone, or they've paid for it, or they worked in an abortion facility, I think that they sit there sometimes and think, well, they won't even talk about it. So maybe this thing is really too bad. It's too ugly, and abortion is ugly. But those impacted start to think it's too much. Like it's too big to forgive, and I can't talk to my pastor about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have any ideas why maybe they're not talking about it?
You know, I really think my experience, my religious experience, if you will, is all in the Protestant tradition. I know that in the Catholic tradition, there is, I believe, more open conversation about abortion in Catholic parishes and dioceses. However, in the Protestant traditions, you have some of the mainline Protestant churches are very honestly advocates for abortion. They don't see anything wrong with it. So you have that, but then I think in other churches where they consider themselves to be pro-life, I think that they consider abortion to be primarily a political issue. And I would argue that, I would say that for Christians, abortion is predominantly a moral and a theological issue. It's about who God is and who we are. It's about who God designed us to be, and our reaction or our response to that. And I think that it can become a political issue. I mean, we're right in the middle of election season again, and like especially with the recent ruling in Alabama with the whole IVF thing, the issue of abortion politically has just been ramped up exponentially. But I think churches and pastors need to understand that fundamentally, this is a moral and a theological issue, and they need to educate their congregations on what the word says about life and God and abortion.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I just pray that more and more churches will start to understand that. Just like you said earlier, you hear them talking about, a gender ideology and sexual orientation and pornography, and those are some big issues. But why won't they also talk about abortion? It needs to start happening because, yeah.
Yeah, I think another part of the equation may just be, I guess I term it abortion fatigue. I mean, abortion was legalized with Roe v. Wade in the United States, obviously back in the 70s, and I think that there are people over the years who were kind of carrying that pro-life banner and then just became tired of it. And I think even people sitting in the churches, I think for some of those people in the churches, they don't want to hear about abortion because they're tired of it. It's an ugly topic. They don't want to hear about it. And so therefore then their pastors would get complaints or negative feedback for addressing it. But honestly, for those people sitting in churches who have not been part of an abortion decision, I think they need their pastors to provide strong messages and strong education about, first of all, what abortion is, how it works, and again, what God's word says about it. Because each and every one of us, every single day, is bombarded by these one-liners about abortion that just sound so good. Like, my body, my choice. Hands off my uterus. Whatever the other ones are. And Christians, if we're gonna say we're pro-life Christians, we need to be able to defend that stance.
Amen. Absolutely. And that, we get our education at church, so that needs to start there for sure. If it's not starting with us on our own learning, we need to hear it from someone who's theologically sound. So I agree with you totally. What's been your experience, reaching out to churches and being that resource? What kind of experiences have you had in that regard?
Well, I have had kind of mixed responses. And I do want to say that I am not a pastor, and I do know that the job of a pastor is a huge, huge job. It comes with great responsibility. They're on call like 24/7, and so very much is expected of our pastors. So this is in no way meant to be any sort of criticism at all. However, I do think just by the nature of the secret of abortion in many women's lives, they don't see it. They don't see these hurt, wounded, bleeding people because they're keeping it a secret. So, back to your original question, the response has been varied among churches. I've mostly had churches welcome me in personally to come into a group that is not the main church body, like on a Sunday morning, which I am not, again, a pastor. I am not looking to be in a pulpit on a Sunday morning. That's the pastor's job. But I have had churches bring me in or bring the message in, once I've shared it with them, to other segments of the population. A lot of times, women's groups. I've been at like a even a Christmas brunch for a large church to be their main speaker. I've been at like a breakout session for an IF gathering that was virtual, and then they had a few people speaking in person. I've had several youth groups that have welcomed the message, which I think is phenomenal because, I mean, think about your own story. We do not want 16 and 17 and 18-year-olds accessing abortion.
No.
Their brains are not ready to make that sort of a decision. We don't want anybody to make it, but we really want to make sure that those kids are equipped with information and resources to make decisions for life, and hopefully even to back up from that and make decisions for saving sex for marriage. But so it's been varied. The response has definitely not been as open arms as I would have wished it to be. But there has been a response nonetheless. One of the pieces that I started with in this whole nonprofit was an open letter to pastors, priests, and clergy that I wrote. And it's on my website, so anybody can access it to read it. But that letter has just really resonated with women who've had abortions. As I said earlier, each woman has her own unique story, variables that are different from everyone else's story. But women who regret abortion also have a lot of common threads that are woven through their stories. And that's kind of what I put in that letter. And I've had women that have printed that letter off and taken it to their pastors and used that as a tool. So I hope I answered your question. I'm not
You
sure if I
did.
Okay.
Yes. And I will link your website and that letter. I think there should be a direct link to the letter if I link to that too, so that the women can read it in the show
And
notes.
yes, and they can also, I think my website person did this. I can't do these things because it's too much technological magic, but my website person, I think, now made it so that a woman can like sign it electronically and add her name to the letter.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll make sure that's linked. So if you're listening, you can go to the show notes and you can find Kay's website and the open letter to pastors. And if you feel inclined, you can sign your name to the letter and really show that we truly are everywhere, which actually is going to segue into my next question for you. So as you said, you were talking about the women that you were gathered with when you said, we are everywhere, and you mentioned how each woman was so different. And that's true even when you think about like our individual stories, our individual, testimonies surrounding abortion. So, what are some of your thoughts and feelings and experiences that you've kind of had or that you find are common among this group of women that's so diverse?
Sure. That's a good question. I think one of the first things that comes to my mind is this thought that God is going to somehow punish you, punish me for my abortion or abortions, that God is somehow going to get back at you. And I think that speaks to, first of all, to just an incomplete understanding of who God is and how he works. But I have found that to be so common among women. And even where I've had women call me after they've been through a healing program and have a situation in their life or in the life of a loved one that they feel is their fault because they had an abortion. So, for instance, a woman calling to say, "Oh my gosh, our first grandchild is on the way, and now the pregnancy is being threatened by a physical, some physical problem. Is this my fault? Did I make this happen?" So, I think that's a very common thread among women. I think also there's a very common thread of worthlessness. Women feeling like, "I did this thing, therefore I'm unworthy of anything good. I'm unworthy of love. I'm unworthy of friendship. I'm unworthy of happiness." Which also is so sad and so unfortunate. I mean, Jesus said, "I came to give them life and give it to the full." And that's certainly not what I hear described when I hear these declarations of worthlessness. I actually just had a woman text me probably a week ago, and in the text made the sad comment about being low class. And that was specifically in relation to her abortion. Yeah. Yeah. So I think those are probably two of the biggest common threads that I see. But both of those things have such, like, they just have tentacles coming out from them. There's so many issues that are involved in that. Possibly another one is that if women have children before they had their abortion, or then they have subsequent children, this very great fear that something is going to happen to those children. That, and again, this relates kind of to the first one about God's going to punish me, but I don't deserve these children. They deserve a better mother than me. Somehow God's going to punish me by making them sick or letting them be abducted, or some other horrible thing. And also, I guess the last one I'll mention is that there are women who will talk about their abortion when they regret it, but it's much more common, I think, when women regret abortions, particularly women from who have some sort of a Christian background, for women to keep it a secret and have this super deep fear that anybody is going to find out about their abortion because they're certain that they are going to be cast out, that they're not going to be accepted, that they're going to be judged, and that everyone's going to hate them.
Yeah, and that's just so sad to think
Oh,
about. Yeah.
it's so sad.
So, when you think about that, what would your message be to the woman who's feeling like that right now?
My message, first of all, would be you are not alone. I think yet another common thread is that women who've had abortions that regret it so often feel that they are all alone. They look around them and they don't see anybody else that they think could have ever done this thing. And I think that Satan really works on them and makes them think that they've committed the unforgivable sin. So I would want women to know, first of all, you are not alone. And second of all, the work that Jesus did on the cross covers all sin. When his last words were, "It is finished," there was nothing more that needed to be done. He poured out his life to pay for all sins, for all mankind, for all time. And that does not exclude abortion. That actually includes abortion. And abortion is an ugly thing. It's horrific, very honestly. I've just watched some clips of the new TikTok videos that are out with women documenting their chemical abortions with music in the background. And I mean, abortion is horrific, but that's what Jesus came for. Jesus came for horrible sins, and he came for every single person who has ever committed a sin, which is all of us.
Amen. Amen. I think that is what some of these women really needed to hear. And it's just so true. And I just can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast and for sharing that encouragement and just really opening up the eyes of those of us who just kind of are, you know, some people find the podcast and they have not had an abortion, but they are learning more about it. And so I know that what you said will help them, you know, learn more about the true cost and everything. And it's also just going to bring so much comfort to the women that find it in the silence of their room, just sad and looking for hope. And so I just can't thank you enough for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, Brittany. It was an absolute delight.
Was that amazing or what? Oh my goodness. I am just so thankful to Kay that she came on the show. And I really just sincerely hope and pray that you found that encouraging and uplifting, and that hearing from someone else just truly helped you to understand that you are not alone. As Kay said, and as her nonprofit is called, we truly are everywhere, and you just are not alone. And Jesus came for you. And I hope that you enjoyed the episode. I want to just tell you a couple of housekeeping things. So if you want to visit Kay's website, you can go to weareeverywhere.life, or you can click the link in the show notes. I will have her website linked there. And then on her website, or you can grab a direct link to this in the show notes, but on her website, there is that open letter to pastors that she talked about. And I would so encourage you to read that letter. to add your name to the letter and to consider praying over whether you should print that letter off and give it to your pastor or not, because we are only going to change the culture around abortion if we talk about the truth. And Kay just so eloquently wrote that letter. It is perfect and it is just really touching. And so I would encourage you to, at the very least, go read it and sign your name to it, but also to really just prayerfully consider if you should share that with your church. Now, I just want to pray us out and also give one quick little call to action. If you're listening to this and you are feeling led to share your testimony, and you've ever thought of sharing your testimony on this show, I would love for you to send me an email at Brittany@doesgodforgiveabortion.com. Or again, just every episode, the links will be in the show notes. Just FYI, I feel like I say that too much, but send me an email. I would absolutely love to chat with you and get more testimonies of women on the show. I know that I am not the only one that can share the true cost of abortion and the true goodness of Jesus. And so if you have ever considered sharing your story, please send me an email at Brittany@doesgodforgiveabortion.com. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to take a moment, Lord, to thank you so much for Kay, for bringing her into my life when you did, at a time when I didn't know I was going to need her, Lord. It's just a true testament to how your timing is perfect and how you just work in such amazing ways and how patient you are, Lord. I'm just so thankful for her and for the opportunity to have her share on the podcast. I pray that those listening will go to her page and just be encouraged. And I can't thank you enough. I pray for peace and protection for Kay and for those listening, Lord, as we go into the rest of the week. And I pray for healing for anyone who's listening that needs it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, beautiful friend, I hope that you found comfort from today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share this podcast with someone you know that may be seeking wholeness after abortion? Also, I would be over the moon grateful if you would please consider leaving a review wherever you are listening. It truly encourages me to know this podcast is helping you. Lastly, I want to remind you that we are here for you. If you would like to connect with the community of women healing from the past decision of abortion, please join us in our private Facebook group at bit.ly/DGFA group. Know that I continue to pray for you daily, and I am so thankful for you. I'll meet you back in a few days for a brand new episode, but until then, take care and God bless.